Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the show. This is Option Trading Concepts Live. My name is Nick Batista. I've got my man, Mikey Butler, with me as always. And if you want to come join us, hop over to YouTube, type in Tasty Live, come to our channel, give us a like, and subscribe to our videos because that helps us immensely. But more importantly, just come chat with us live because we'll be taking questions throughout the show. Whatever you got questions on, from strategies, concepts, trade ideas, trade management, whatever. Just come hang with us for the next hour of the day, my favorite hour of the day, because I get to spend it with my buddy, Mikey Butler. We didn't color coordinate the...
I was going to say...
The green. So we're wearing green, and there's no green in the market.
Yeah, forget about 50 shades of gray. How about 2 shades of green?
That's right.
I mean, no green in the market, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Every rally is being sold off, which is very odd to see.
I agree. I will say that Tom did his like pat on the back this morning in Johnny Trades, where he was like, here, I told you, it's down, told you. So we could be nearing a bottom here soon.
I was going to say, I was looking at the minute chart to figure out when he said that. Because then I would assume it would be the opposite move. Right afterwards.
Yeah, no, he's correct right now. He is having his moment of glory. Mm-hmm. I will give him that.
I'm sure it feels great. It's got to feel good.
Yes.
I'm just glad gold's taking a little breather.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean...
I got some short delta in there in the Johnny portfolio.
Yeah, I would love to see it drop a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Just for like maybe like a, you know... profit taking moment. I need it down at 23.47.50. So
50 points.
Yeah. You're so where it was 2 days ago.
Yeah, you're out 500 bucks. You're fine.
It'll be okay. But yeah, Bitcoin taken out on the chin, just dropped below 60,000 for the first time we've seen in
Scurry.
How long?
It's been a while, I would say.
Since before March, February.
Wow.
So yeah, it's sold off over 10,000 points in 4 days.
Yeah.
And this is like we said earlier, I mean, it's so interesting because when the ETFs were about to be approved, they got vaporized. Now you got the halving, now it's getting vaporized. So
yeah,
it's kind of like going against the narrative here. E-mini's selling off hard now, down 33.
Low of the day here. Mm. Yeah, you give a one quick, go on.
I was gonna say, one thing that's not selling off is United Airlines.
Yes, good trade out of you.
Yeah, that was a nice one. I wasn't playing for a huge move like this, but I looked at their numbers, they were supposed to report a loss, like we talked about yesterday, and they reported like a 15 cent loss instead of a 50 cent loss. So they did better than
one. Lose less.
There you go.
Yes.
Lose less, moon.
Okay.
Remember the good old days with Tesla when it was like, we're expecting a $5 earnings per share loss, and then they reported like a 4 and they would just skyrocket?
Yeah.
The fun days. The fun Tesla days. Oh, man.
I don't know if anything has changed all that much.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just short-term sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
E-mini's down 32. We're at the lows of the day here. Couple points off of it. NASDAQ down 188. You got the Dow down 156 and the Russell down 16. So Russell, NASDAQ, the weakest of the group. Oil selling off a bit. Ford / CL down $2.35. 82.50 on the oil futures there. Volatility picking up. Ford / VX 17.85. Up 41 ticks. A little over 2.25%. Bonds rallying about 19 points here. You got gold down $9, silver up 12 cents. And as Mikey alluded to, Bitcoin taking it on the chin here. Futures down 2,700, spot down 4,000. Big move.
Yeah. Not that many names that are green today. Goldman Sachs up $5.
Mm-hmm. I did a little iron condor there. I got some short delta in this account.
Yeah. Wow. What a move.
Yeah.
Oil down 220.
Mm-hmm.
What a move.
Scary.
Gold. Let's go. Keep going. Sell, sell, sell. Yeah, a couple of things I got my eye on that are expiring soon. The corn futures short put spread that we put on 35 days ago. The 440, 430 put spread. Still in that. That was the one loser of the trio that we had from Thomas, but still got 9 days to go. We could see a rally in there. It's trading for about half the max loss, so we'll see. It's a small trade regardless.
Yeah.
DraftKings down $2. What are you thinking here? I think I'm going to stay in the May cycle for earnings.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, there's a big implied volatility boost in that cycle, which means there's going to be an extrinsic value crush after earnings.
Yeah.
May 2nd. So I think I'm going to stay there.
What do you have? Because we have two sort of different positions, right?
I have a 38-41 inversion.
Okay. Okay. So you're leaning a little bit short here. So if we pull this up, you're short about 40 deltas. I am right at the money. I have this 43 straddle. So I have basically zero delta. Mikey has a little bit of short delta just due to the move that we've had here.
Yeah.
They would both benefit from sideways moves / down moves. Get a little bit of that vol coming out.
Yeah. And to further emphasize the implied volatility.
I think we're going to have to remember to shut Tom's or at least close out his platform on the
desktop. Yeah. This just reminds me of, like, remember he used to take vacations? Like, now he's much better. If he takes a vacation, you don't hear from him.
Yes.
At least we don't hear from him.
Yes.
But before, he would take a vacation. He'd call into the show when we were covering, make sure everything's fine.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. It's like, we're on the show. He's not, but he's got the dings.
Of course. Of course. You know? He's the man.
Going back to DraftKings. So I'm looking right now. I have the 38-41 inversion. DraftKings has 50% implied volatility perpetually.
Mm-hmm.
When I roll from a 30-day cycle to a 65-day cycle, I should expect to see more than a dollar credit. That's what it is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So rolling from May, 30 days, to June, 65 days, with the same strikes, it's only a dollar, which tells you that implied volatility is so high in the May cycle that the premium is basically the same when you look at May versus June, which is why my credit roll is only a dollar. I would expect to get $2.50 for something like that.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting it. So that just further brings me to the point of I'm going to stay in the May cycle and hold this through earnings and then roll to the June cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, it's near 38 or 41 or in that range. Yeah. And that'll be a nice roll.
I think that's a plan.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in. If you've got any trade ideas, questions, you can join us on the YouTube channel. We're streaming live there. Just head over to Tasty Live. You'll see this video front and center. We're going to chat a little bit about earnings today. Just give a brief overview. We're going to have three trade ideas for you tomorrow. And Netflix earnings are tomorrow. And it's one of the bigger ones that we're going to kick off this season with. So I wanted to kind of just highlight what we look for with earning strategies, things we avoid, things we try and focus on, and we'll give you an example in Netflix and maybe peruse some potential strategies there.
Peruse,
you like that?
Yeah.
But tomorrow, we'll definitely dive deeper into the Netflix realm.
Cool.
As always, you know, I like to wait until the earnings day because I want to, whatever my strategy is, I want to make sure it's around the current stock price. Down $7 right now. If I put it on now, maybe you get a big move, and now I'm in a wonky scenario where my strategy is not where I want it. So for earnings trades, I like to wait until we're there.
Yep.
All right. First things first, earnings discussion. A couple of things to think about with earnings strategies. So if we go to the first slide, there's just a few points here. Naturally, market results are completely random, period. We've seen it time and time again. I mean, sometimes you can have your assumption and it works out and the numbers align. Like United Airlines, they reported less of a loss than they were expecting with all the Boeing stuff. Market went up. Okay.
Yeah.
Narrative is there. It makes sense logically.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll see that same exact scenario play out and the stock will drop by 10%. So just realize that regardless of your assumption, regardless of what you think is going to happen from whatever your assumption is, just understand that earnings results can be and will continue to be very random, which is why implied volatility is really heightened in that weekly cycle and the near-term cycles, relative to the back months, because there is always going to be this uncertainty around earnings and where the stock price is going to move, whether it's going to be inside the expected move, outside the expected move. There is a large degree of randomness there.
Yeah, and by results, you mean like what the stock does after. I mean, there are so many different angles that you can take with, like, you know, is the report good? Is it bad? There's expectations. There's analyst projections. Like, all those things are nice to know, but there's no way to really say, okay, if earnings come in above expectations, the stock goes up. Or if it comes below expectations, the stock goes down. We've seen the randomness, or, you know, even trying to play the magnitude. You know, if they blow out earnings, it doesn't necessarily mean the stock goes up, you know, significantly. It might go up a little bit. I mean, it might go down a little bit. The movement, as in the result of the stock, is not something that you can, you know, really, hang your hat on.
Yeah. So that's why we always, you know, temper our trade size, make sure that we can withstand the variance of this market result from the earnings.
Mm-hmm. Well, you play for volatility, you play for time. Those exactly. are the things that we really focus on.
Yes, because those are things you can tangibly see, and those are things you can utilize to reduce your cost basis on strategies.
Yeah.
So, just a quick review. Ivy crushes are most apparent in the near-term expirations. Leaps, long-term options, are going to be generally unaffected by IV. You're going to see maybe 1%, 2%, 3% contractions in like the furthest dated cycles, where you'll see 10%, 20%, 30% or more in the near-term cycles. Delta, though, can still move. So regardless, like if you're buying a leap option for Netflix or United Airlines, like you can look at United Airlines puts right now. United Airlines is up 6 now, just going nuts. Mm-hmm. But the options 600 days out on the put side, if we look at the change, they've lost a significant amount of value. So regardless of the lack of implied volatility crush, options are still going to be delta exposed. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. When we're looking at strategies for earnings, we like to see a big difference in the weekly implied volatility relative to long-term or leap implied volatility. So best case scenario, and we're going to show this in Netflix, is, you know, a really high implied volatility number in the weekly cycle, a really high plus minus expected move, which is displayed on the Tastetrade platform in the weekly cycle relative to, in this case, May, relative to June, relative to the further dated cycles. The more implied volatility we see in the weekly relative to the back months, the more we can utilize that weekly option to reduce our cost basis in a really effective way, especially for diagonal spreads, calendars, crab trades, things like that. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, we can further build context around the expected move by looking at the weekly expectation versus the stock price. So we're looking at a couple different layers here. We're looking at the implied volatility in the weekly relative to the monthly, but we're also looking at what is that plus minus number in the weekly relative to the stock price. For me, we've been looking at these for years. I would like to say that, you know, most of these are going to land in that 5 to 10% range. 5% is low. Lower than 5% is really low. Those might be ones we just avoid altogether, because regardless of your directional assumption, unless you're just buying naked options or something like that, if you have a 3% expected move for earnings, that's just really low. I mean, sometimes it can be within that range, but you're still dealing with an equity that can, and they can say anything. And a 3% move, a two standard deviation move on a 3% expectation is only 6%, and that happens every day. So just understanding that we're trying to avoid those scenarios. I would rather be involved in a product that has a 10% expected move relative to the stock price. So Netflix, and we can pop over to the next slide really quick here. Netflix down $6 today, currently trading at $600. Expected move for the week is $52. So that's a pretty high expectation relative to the stock price. It's just under 10%. Where if I looked at that and I saw a $25 move on a $600 stock, for me, that's just like an internal red flag. That doesn't mean it's going to go up or down. It means I'm probably just not going to trade that, especially covering a range with like a neutral strategy like an iron condor, because would I be surprised to see Netflix move 50 points after an expectation of 25 points? The answer is probably not. So I don't want to be a part of a two standard deviation move if that's going to be something that's going to hurt my strategy.
Yeah.
We're here. Would I be surprised to see Netflix have a 100-point move? Much more surprised than a 50-point move. And if a 100-point move in this context is still two standard deviations, because we're looking at a 50-point expected move right now. So keeping that in mind, just understanding that, you know, most times we're going to be trying to be involved with implied volatility environments that look like this, where we're looking at a 50-point expected move for 2 days, a 66-point expected move for May, 30 days out, in this yellowish rectangle here, and then the green box at the bottom of this image, June and beyond, 41%, 42%, 39%, 39%. Like, that's the baseline implied volatility. If you ever hear us talking about baseline implied volatility for earnings, this is what we're referring to, where you can't really see that there's an implied volatility difference in terms of the number, where when you look at 41% compared to the 50% in May, that's a difference. That's a differential.
Yeah.
And you look at 50% relative to 135, that's a big difference. We know that the two-day cycle is going to lose all of its extrinsic value on Friday. So I don't really put too much weight in that 139% number that you're seeing there, or 135% on the screen. I look more at the expected move, 52 points relative to 66. That's a big ratio. So that tells you that if you're doing a debit trade, like a calendar spread or diagonal, you're going to be able to reduce your cost basis with the two-day option really aggressively compared to the cost of May or the cost of June.
Yes.
And further, if I'm buying premium, like if I can afford it, I would much rather go to June than May, because I know that there's going to be a bigger vol crush in May relative to June.
The relative value of the options is cheaper.
Yes.
The actual value is going to be more expensive, but relative to the amount of time, it's cheaper.
Yes. So the 615 call is trading for $3,300. The 610 put is trading for $3,300 in May.
Yeah.
30 days out. In June, the 610 put's trading for $3,700. So a couple hundred dollars more to get twice the amount of time and a lower implied volatility crush potential. And the upside, $41. Interesting. At the 615, a little more expensive, but still twice the amount of time, lower implied volatility crush, which means even if you get the move wrong, you're going to be able to retain more extrinsic value there with a lower implied volatility crush. So these are the things that we look at when we're trading earnings, regardless of whether it's a long premium trade, short premium trade, neutral trade, bullish, bearish. We can use this information to make intelligent strategic decisions and take advantage of this cost basis reduction in the two-day cycle.
I like it.
So needless to say, we will be trading earnings in Netflix. It's just a matter of where it is tomorrow, what this IV structure looks like, and what makes sense to us based on our directions.
You going bullish, bearish, neutral? What's your thinking? What's your lean? Is the market sentiment influencing you?
It does scare me a little bit. I really don't like going against the market sentiment.
I know.
Like, we've seen a really weak market. It might be tough to be really bullish, like super bullish on Netflix.
Yeah.
For me, it's like, okay, even if I'm bullish on Netflix, maybe I think it just goes like inside up versus like 100 points to the upside face ripper. That can still happen, but in a weak market like this, it's just a little scary. So I don't know. I might be looking, we're going to have to be defined risk for sure.
Yeah.
Debit trades are really expensive in here, so we might have to go with a credit spread. So like, even if I'm bullish, I might go to May and do a put spread.
Yeah.
Something like that. So
keep it simple. I don't mind that idea.
Yeah. Iron Condor. But yeah, I might be going with a put spread in May.
All right.
Because I want to, and going back to like using this information for intelligent strategy deployment, a credit spread, don't really want to do it in the 2 day. I mean, the 2 day, you're going to get the most bang for your buck in terms of if you're right, you get all that premium right away. But if you're wrong, you can't defend it if it's in the money. 30 days out, you can get further out on the strike plane. You can still collect a decent amount relative to your risk. And if you get a big move against you, you've got 30 days for it to reverse. Selling a put spread or call spread in May versus June, you know there's going to be a bigger IV crush in May relative to June. June, that 41% might go down to 38, 37, 36. But that 50% number in May is also going to go down to 37, 36. It's going to, all these numbers are going to normalize. That's something we haven't talked about yet. Mm-hmm. After earnings, all these numbers are going to normalize. If you look at UAL today, UAL is a perfect example. If we can go over to the platform really quick, we can show this. But yeah, UAL, this implied volatility structure yesterday looked very much like Netflix. You had higher implied volatility in May, much higher implied volatility in the 2-day, and now look at it, 42% across the board. Every single one of these is in the 40s except for the 2-day cycle, which still has elevated IV a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is what we're gonna see in Netflix. This is what you're gonna see for all of these earnings stocks. You're gonna basically see this implied volatility structure that's kind of sloped up to the weekly cycle, flatten out after earnings.
Yes. Beautiful.
Lovely.
Good stuff.
Thank you. All right. What are you gonna do in Netflix? Anything?
I had a short call spread in there that I took off of my JohnnyTrader account, so I don't have anything right now. I mean, I don't know. It's had quite the run-up. I'm kind of leaning on the other side. You're there a little bit more bullish. I think I lean a little bit more bearish.
That's fine.
I agree with you in that it's tough to do really anything other than a credit spread. I mean, even looking at like a crab type trade, if you're doing June, you know, the, let's say the 30-ish delta, 575, and you go to April, the weekly, you can go like 550, 525, something like that, $1,400 on an earnings play. If you do a diagonal spread, it's $1,700.
It's a lot.
You know, it's a big position, so it's very tough. I would much rather just do a, you know, I think I had the 675, 685, and I closed it for $1.67. So the stock's actually come down a little bit, but volatility is expanding. You know, something like a, you know, directional short premium out of the money. You got some buffer to be wrong. I think that's kind of how it best sets up. You know, if you wanted to be like, quote unquote, short, or, you know, playing the downside, you move it, you know, inside the expected move, 650, 660. If you want to be more aggressive, 625, 635, gives you some wiggle room, but it's a trade that, you know, doesn't use it as much capital. Not really as much capital.
Yeah. And we'll come back to this tomorrow for sure. Yes. 'Cause they report tomorrow after the close.
Beautiful.
I also posted a written earnings preview for Netflix as well. So I'll put that in the YouTube chat right now.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Sorry. There's one last slide. Thank you very much. Yes. So I pulled this from the Cherry Picks, which came out yesterday.
Yes. It was a good one.
Yes. Go to tastylive.com/newsletters. I'll put a link to the chat, put a link in the chat to that as well. But yeah, this is the earnings season. So in the Cherry Picks, you'll see kind of a rundown of a lot of the popular stocks. You'll see the recent moves for the last couple of quarters. You can see in Netflix, I highlighted at the bottom here, a little small font, but 17% increase in Q3 for 2023, 9% increase in Q4. Does not mean it's going up this time, but it's just interesting to see the relative moves. You know, Netflix, if you look at the depth of the colors there, Netflix has had the largest decrease, 30% down and 17% up for the last 22 quarters. So it's a mover.
I think, and obviously it's impossible to equate past to present. I mean, it doesn't necessarily indicate anything, but for me, I like to look at that overnight price movement, the standard deviation, and basically what that is saying is that, you know, this is the typical range plus or minus that it stays in, and you can kind of quantify that to what the current implied volatility is, and at a $52 expected move, that's under 10% of the stock price. So it gives you an idea. I know volatility is certainly high in there. Ivy rank is at 80, but the stock has had very big moves. So it is something to keep in mind.
Love it.
Yes. Cool.
Good stuff.
Thank you for the Cherry Picks shout out.
You got it.
Fantastic publication.
It truly is. It truly is. And guess what? It's free.
Yeah.
Which makes it even more tasty.
Yeah.
Food does taste better when it's free.
That is true. Anything is better free.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Kicking it over to the YouTube chat now. Jonas, kind of a beginner options trader, and yesterday I found out pattern day trading. I was wondering if it also applies to opening an option and rolling it in the same day.
Yes.
Yes, it does. So even though a rolling transaction might feel like kind of a mirage because you're buying it back and selling a new option in the same transaction, you are still opening a trade on one day and closing that trade to roll it into a new cycle. So that's what you need to focus on, opening and closing the same option in the same trading day. Anything related to that is going to be pattern day trading.
Yes.
Let's see. Robert, looking at an SPX Iron Condor, 16 Delta, 5360, 5310 on the upside, and 4760, 4710 on the downside.
So it's like 50 points wide at $12. So the question being, is this too big for my account size? I mean, it is a big position. I don't know what expiration you're in. We can look at it. Let's just say May. Let's see, 53 or 5360. Hold on. So that's on the calls. 4760 on the puts. 4710. 4310. 4360. So something like this. Maybe you're in April or a little bit further out. It is a big position relative to your account size. If you're looking at this as like your core position, I don't hate it. I think, you know, you have to be a little bit hands off with it and kind of use this as a core position of getting long as the market goes down, getting short as the market goes up. It is a 50 point wide, so there is some management you can do, but I would be less aggressive with this, assuming you're using this as kind of like your core trade and, you know, your other stuff is much smaller.
Yeah. And really, like, if you're using 25% of your account or more for one trade that's defined risk.
Yeah.
Even though it's an SPX, I mean, we're seeing it now. Like, SPX is still ripping around. So definitely got to be careful with trade size there. And you got to have a plan for when things go awry. Yeah. I wouldn't expect to see, like, max losses on either side.
No.
Because you can still manipulate this. You can roll the put spread out in time. If it goes down, you can roll the call spread out in time. You could close it and cap the max loss there. So, like, if you have this spread go completely in the money, it's 50 points wide. If there's still time left to expiration, it's going to trade for about $2,500.
Yeah.
Unless it goes deep in the money very rapidly. But
yeah. Yes.
Anywhere near the market price, even if it goes in the money, it's going to be trading for about $2,500. And you can look at that now. Like, you can look at any SPX 50 point wide spread that's near the market price. It's going to be trading for around there. So your true buying power max loss isn't necessarily your practical max loss if you are closing out of it.
Yes.
You have the ability to close out of it before a 300 point move in the money.
Yeah, what you're saying is, like, if you're managing this position, your realistic risk is probably like $1,000.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, 12 to 1500 if you really get a huge move.
Yes.
So I agree with that, you know, sentiment in that maybe you manage losers as well and not let them go.
Yeah. When will Reddit options be available for June? Will it be after April's expiry? I would bet my bottom dollar
yes,
that would be the case.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're not out yet.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, but I guess, yeah. 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 Certainly will have it after April.
Yeah, that's typically the case for some of these that are missing expirations. Once the near-term monthly expiration rolls off, they'll add the new one that's missing. Can you explain why Tom and Tony sell at-the-money call spreads when the market is going down? Wouldn't it be better to sell a put spread on a down day instead? Not if they think the market's going to keep going down.
Yeah, and a lot of those transactions, like if you're seeing them from Tom, they're probably rolls.
Yeah.
So they're buying to close now further out of the money options and selling to open new positions. And you, yes, it is a roll into weakness of the position. You don't want to roll calls down when the stock is going down, but you are getting the benefit of a pop in volatility. Yeah, you've got to flatten out your deltas some, you know, sort of way. So, you know, it, those adjustments, yes, if we were to reverse, are going to hurt you. But if you stay here and chop for a day or two, you're good. Or go lower, obviously.
Yeah. And if you're looking on the follow page, just keep your eye on the action. If it says roll, it's an adjustment. If there's no action listed, or if it says pop of a percentage, those are new trades.
Yes. And Tom is generally more aggressive. We've talked about it before in that, you know, he has a lot of positions and he trades much bigger than we do. You know, our one lots, we can just hold some directional risk. He doesn't really have to worry about, or his positions are all together, so to speak. Like, we can look at individual positions and say, you know what, I'm going to lean short here, or I'm going to lean long here. He has a much bigger portfolio, and so his positions, it's really just an action of getting delta for the overall portfolio. Like, he doesn't care, I don't know what his first or his most recent roll down was, but I have us selected here, just looking at what he's doing. So, you know, he hasn't done much, but he doesn't care about, you know, what the underlying is. He's looking at his portfolio as a whole, adjusting in a given underlying to get some delta.
Indeed. Triple threat here from H. Montero. Does higher vol in the weekly mean anything about it having an outside expected move? And looking at a Netflix 20-point wide iron condor in the weekly, playing the inside expected. I wouldn't say it has anything to do with having an outside expected move. I think it tells you that you shouldn't expect a 5-point move from Netflix. Like, you shouldn't expect a 10-point move.
It doesn't mean it can't happen. It
doesn't mean it can happen.
Yeah. It just says the market isn't projecting that.
Correct. The wider the range is relative to the stock price and or relative to further out cycles, just tells you that the market is expecting something to happen. There's only one time that I can remember where Tesla had a huge expected move and it didn't move at all. It
was Nvidia had one not too long ago.
Yeah.
I think it rallied after, like the next day, but it opened
like flat.
Flat. I mean, and those
premium just got
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, anything can still happen, but when you see these environments like Netflix, the market is just telling you that they are expecting something to happen.
Mm.
In a 20-point wide iron condor, 535, 680 in the weekly.
Yeah, and you're basically a one standard deviation, $2 and change, a little bit extra room to the downside. I don't hate it.
Yeah. That same trade in March or in May. 535.
Yeah, because you're probably inside the expected move in March and May.
Yeah, you're still actually out. You're still at the expected move in May. Mm. In June, you'd be inside for sure.
Yeah.
Collecting a little more in May for the same trade with much less profit potential if it stays within. Right now, or like after Thursday, I should say. But you could move your strikes further out of the money, even further out of the money in May to get that same premium. But yeah, if you're comfortable with that 2-day risk, don't hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Please show me an options chain and how to understand dividend assignment risk.
All right.
Any stock.
Well, let's try and find a stock that has dividends coming up. Let's see.
Didn't your dad tweets out dividend stuff?
Well, we can just look at like
something recently.
We could look at Cat.
Okay.
Which has a dividend on the 19th, which is Friday.
Okay.
So I do have some short delta in here too. What's this trade at? Let's see.
So $1.30 dividend.
So it's got a $1.30 dividend coming up. So that is all extrinsic value. A dividend is extrinsic value that is paid out as cash, obviously. So the options account for that value because the stock adjusts by that amount. So if CAT were to stay right here, let's just call it 354 on the dot, and it pays out the dividend, the next day it would be exactly lower in the amount of the dividend. So if the dividend is $1.30 and the stock's trading at 354, it would trade at 352.70. What?
330.70. 340?
No, 350. Yeah,
whatever. $1.30 less.
352.70. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Anyway. So it's a non-event. There's no like dividend arb you can play in terms of, you know, buying the stock, getting the dividend, and then just immediately selling the stock. That doesn't exist. So I just wanted to preface that. As for calls, if you have short calls, they are less valuable. If they're less valuable from an extrinsic value standpoint relative to the dividend, you're at risk of assignment because you have to give the shares to somebody else. You'd be paying that dividend. So when you look at the options, the quickest and easiest way to look at the extrinsic value of an in-the-money option is to just look at the out-of-the-money put. So if you had the 300 strike short call in May, you are probably at risk of assignment for that $1.30 dividend, or at least right on the dance floor. If you have the 290, you are certainly at risk of assignment for that dividend. Dividend risk does not matter what expiration you are trading. So, you know, that may, just because you have 30 days, it doesn't matter. It's all about extrinsic value. It's the same thing if you were in June. If you were in June and you had a deep in the money option that's at the 270 strike, it doesn't matter that there's 60 days. It matters that this option doesn't have as much extrinsic value as owning the stock and taking the dividend. So that is what dividend risk is. If you have stuff in April, it's pretty much anything below 347 and a half. You can see this $1.40-ish and change. You know, anything below that has less extrinsic value than the dividend coming up on the 19th.
Yeah. So basically you want to just make sure that, and it does not apply to puts. It's only in the money short calls. So I see you have a 350, 360. I don't know if that's a put spread or a call spread. If that's a short put spread, you're fine. Because it's not going to apply here. Because
you're fine with the call spread too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just want to make sure that if you have an in-the-money short call, you want to see a greater extrinsic value than the projected dividend of $1.30. If you have $1.50, $1.60, $1.70, it doesn't make sense for the counterparty to exercise that option, vaporize that $1.50, $60, $70, and collect $1.30 for the dividend. That's a net loss on their side. But if the option only has 20 cents of extrinsic value and there's a $1.30 dividend, now it still doesn't make sense. I would still rather sell out of the option and buy the stocks.
Yes.
But that is where the risk lies. If you have a short in the money call and that short in the money call has less extrinsic value than the amount of dividend, you are at assignment risk of being assigned early.
Yes.
And then paying the dividend.
Yes.
Cobra Kai season 5 going to save Netflix. That's one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life that I've seen every episode of. Because you just can't stop watching it.
It's like a hate watch.
Yes. It's so bad that it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Oh, man. Yeah. Pattern day trading doesn't apply to futures and options on futures. So, yeah, there's ways you can get away from it. But in the equity world, it certainly does apply.
Yes. You do have to keep in mind that all of your capital that's tied up in futures and futures options does not apply towards the PDT 25K limit. So if you if you're like right on the dance floor of 25K and
you're using futures
you got to be careful because the span margining through the CME is a separate margining system. So it's not, it's a different bucket. Yeah. So if you got, you know, 50K and you're using 30K in futures and you're scalping SPX options, then you're still at risk of pattern day trading because those are separate buckets.
Yeah.
And all of this has nothing to do with us. It's something that we have fought for years and years and years. It is all regulatory. It is not us.
Yep. What are your thoughts on TSM earnings, given the semiconductors are all down today?
Oof. When does it have earnings?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, after the close.
Yeah, TSM actually is interesting because it hasn't had as big of a drop-off as, like, AMD.
Mm-hmm.
AMD's had the biggest sell-off relative to the other two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you're trading earnings in here, like we said earlier, you got to stay small. I mean, even if they say something good, it could still send the stock lower.
Mm-hmm.
If they say something neutral, it could send the stock higher. Like the results are going to be random and the implied volatility is reflecting that.
Yeah.
Looking at a 7-point expected move in the 2-day cycle relative to 12 for May, relative to 16 for June. So this one's actually pretty low. $130 stock, $137 stock, and a 7-point expected move is less than 5%.
Yeah.
So pretty low expected move here, all things considered.
Yeah.
But that means options are cheaper relative to if it was a higher expected move. So it depends on your strategy, but I would just say keep that risk small.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to play this space, the semi space, pretty neutral into earnings. I think there we've had a little bit of a pullback in all of them, but I think there needs to be some vol contraction, some chop. The you know, skew has to come out a little bit. All these stocks have, you know, still have major call skew. I think that's kind of my thinking for this earnings season in these names.
Yeah.
E-mini's down 43, 45. We're crashing.
It's done, it's over.
It's over. What happens if we get below 5,000?
You might see a generational buying opportunity, or you might see it drop another 200 points. So it's either going up or down, let's say that. Or actually, no. It could pin 5,000 exactly. As we've seen that before, and that's when we put our tinfoil hats on.
Yeah.
And we see it pin like exactly a round number. But you know, you never know. You just never know.
Yeah.
What are your strategy recommendations for an account around 2K? 100% defined risk for sure.
Yeah.
You can't really do anything anyway, anything else otherwise. But I mean, you're probably going to be in like, you know,
$2 or $3 $5 wide spreads.
Yeah.
You know, do one iron condor, pick one stock you want to be short and sell a $5 wide call spread. Pick one stock you want to be long, sell a $5 wide put spread, and you know, keep those as your three positions. And the last $500, maybe if you get a big move in the market and there's something that interests you, then you can sell another put spread.
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta, you know, that's tuition account money, because it's going to be a battle to manage positions, to get into new opportunities. You know, you have to kind of look at it with a little bit of a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. It's a good account to learn and see how things move for sure.
Yes.
Manny, to roll an in the money short put down and out, what is a bigger factor? How far in the money the option is, or the IV difference in the expirations?
How far? Yeah, but how far is probably the biggest.
Yeah. I'm short an AMD 5-3, 162 and a half put. May 3rd, 162 and a half put. Want to roll to June to the 155 for a small credit.
Mm-hmm.
Big IV difference for the two periods, though.
Yeah. But this has high. This is high implied volatility, so you're...
Yeah. The reason why your May 3rd is higher because you're in the earnings cycle exactly. Yeah. So April 30th is what, like a Tuesday, I assume? Like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah, if you're in the May 3rd cycle, rolling to June, you can still do it for a credit because there's not that big of a drop-off in IV in June.
But you're taking $7 of value, intrinsic value off the table. $7 and change. Mm-hmm. That's a big – you can't do that sort of thing in I don't know. It's like, isn't Pepsi around this price? Yeah, we can just show this, just the difference of this. So the, I guess like $7.50 out in the money, we'll say the 175. If you had the 175, where could you roll this in the June cycle to the 170 and do it for a dollar debit?
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, a big difference. That's the difference in like actual implied volatility here. I wish we could get like, let's see if we can find a stock that's exactly around that price.
Yeah, and while he does that, the one thing I would say is, if your goal is to...
Oh, here, perfect, PG. It's the exact same price. Mm-hmm. So May 3rd, you had the 62.5. We'd have to buy that back. Where can you roll this to in June? I mean, the 160, and it's still a debit. So you can only take off $2, $2.50 versus AMD, where you're rolling $7.50 out of money.
Yeah.
That's the difference. You know, that your high volatility is good.
Yes. It gives you flexibility.
Yes.
I would say if your goal, if you have a short put and your goal is to just move it, if you get tested, to move it as far out of the money as you can, going from 1 month to the next, the biggest factor is going to be not taking on intrinsic value, because extrinsic value is easy to manipulate. Intrinsic value, especially if you take on a lot of intrinsic value, becomes much harder to buy back that intrinsic value and replace it with extrinsic value without going like super far out in time. So here you can do it because IV's high.
Yeah.
But in Pepsi, PG, you have to go out to September, October, November, December to like make a credit roll.
Yeah. And that's the big difference, is the $7 of intrinsic value in AMD is a lot less than in Pepsi based on the implied volatility.
Yeah. So more flexible in AMD for sure. But yeah, just keep that in mind. If your goal is to roll down and out, not taking on intrinsic value, if you can help it, here you probably couldn't because it just snapped down in the money. Sometimes you can't. But if you can control it, that's when you have the most flexibility. Phil's got a 535, 525, 700, 710 Iron Condor Netflix with 30 days to go. Any suggestions?
535. Oh.
So you're in May.
Mm-hmm. 700, 710.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you're one third the width of the strikes. Round of one standard deviation on either side. It's a classic setup. I like it.
So yeah, there's nothing we would do. It's just, that's where it is. You're outside of the expected move on both sides. You're leaning a little bullish from a strike selection. So yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Good, interesting.
You just need an inside move. And if it doesn't happen, you have 30 days to see if it reverses.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ace Frontera, cross your fingers that sucker doesn't move is the best advice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Trying to get some short delta on SPY with a diagonal put spread. Then I realized I can also do a put crab trade. Can you explain what really sets the crab apart from a diagonal or a vertical? So the crab, from a 30,000 foot view, the crab's going to be more neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Too bearish, where the diagonal is going to be more expensive and more bearish.
Yes. And the diagonal is not going to have risk to the downs in your direction. So when you have, like, if you, we typically like to do 40-20 ish for the deltas, right? So I'm buying a 40 delta option, the 495. I'll sell, like, you know, just to make it a clean number, the 480 here. And the risk profile, you have no risk to the downside. If the stock goes, and if the ETF goes to zero, you still make money. There's no risk to the downside. When you add a crab trade, you're adding more extrinsic value. So you can see this total credit on this position, or the total cost of this position, is $6.72. If you do the crab trade, it's going to be a much cheaper position, and you'll see your theta decay is going to be much higher, but it's going to add risk to the downside. So it's a lot cheaper position. You're selling another $1.50 of extrinsic value, but now you have risk to the downside. And we can show this into the May expiration. You know, there's a point where you start to lose money, and it's at 470-ish. 460-ish, depending on how long you're taking that or how long you're holding that. You know, you can look at that and say, you know what, I don't think the market's going to drop 10%, because that's what the move would be, but it is there. So that's the main difference. It's the risk on the downside.
Following up on the wide iron condor with the 20K account from Robert. Mm-hmm. Managing at 45-day entry, managing at 21 days. I plan on it being a core position. I want to do this over the long term. What's the expected return on capital? So over time, the research that we've done shows that with winners, losers, blah, 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 you should expect to keep like 25% of your credit received.
Of all of them.
Of all of them.
Yeah, like so that.
If you're collecting $1,300, on average, $260 against your
4K in buying power.
So that comes out to
10% would be 400. So you're doing 5% month over month.
Yeah.
Let's call it.
Yeah.
Which is great. I mean, that's good. You just, with anything, you know, that's based on a large number of occurrences.
Correct.
So, you know, you have to keep in mind that it's not always going to be like that.
And that's why our reluctance really shined through, because you can have five losers in a row and now you're really dealing with some pain.
And it doesn't change the expectation for 10,000 occurrences.
Yes. Gold Johnny trade looking good right now. What you got in there?
Let's see.
Ooh, gold's down big.
Yeah. Ooh, big, bigly.
Please keep going.
Jeez. I did this like Tom, the 5x7. He's nuts. So I got the 220, 215. Yeah, already up like $30, 10%. It's a nice little trade.
Yeah, I'm halfway back.
Do you take the money and run?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of thinking.
You're debating it. I know you are.
I know, but my thinking is, if we see a big equity reversal and Bitcoin reversal, maybe we see gold continue down.
Okay.
Maybe not, though. Maybe this is.
I hear you.
Did the SPX put fly 48.50, 49.50, 50.50? The 50-50 is now in the money. How much should I make on this or let it ride?
I mean, it's hard to say because I don't know what expiration you're in. If you have it like for a daily or weekly trade, it's, you know, you've hit a home run. If you're out in May or June, it probably hasn't moved as much, but I use these wide put butterflies as a way to get some short delta and some long volatility into moves like this that we've seen. I usually manage them, but you know, it's a cheap way to have a very big potential hedge to the downside.
Yeah.
If you had the one in May, I think did I have one? Let's see. Was this the one that I had? Well, I had this one. I had the 5,100. It's right at the money now. 5,100, 5,000, 4,900 here. So I closed this at $9. It's now $15. In hindsight, if I had held it, I probably would have held it. You know, I probably wouldn't have done anything here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But when you turn 900, or because I had some management on this trade. If you remember, I bought in the with, but I had a $15 $15 debit that I bought in the risk or some of the risk for $10. So I had a $400 profit. For me to hold this for a $1,000 profit is kind of unrealistic on, you know, $1,000 or $1,500 in buying power. But good on you if you got the trade.
Yeah.
Looking to play a micro and mini butterfly for this Friday. Expiry is at market close, correct? Yeah, so these options, even if you're doing a Friday expiration, these options will expire. If one of them is in the money, it will expire into the contract itself.
Yeah.
And then that contract will expire to cash. So just keep that in mind. But if you're trying to avoid any assignment risk, if you're close, we just close it.
Yeah. I would say just use SPY or SPX or XSP.
Yeah, those are truly cash settled.
SPY isn't, but I just think MES options are just too messy. They just don't trade and they're too small.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not my favorite vehicle.
That's it for us. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, you can always reach us on Twitter. I'm a trader Mikey B, Nick's a trader Nikki Bat. Stay tuned though, we got plenty more content coming your way on the YouTube channel as well as tastylive.com. Go check out that Netflix earnings preview. Go get your cherry picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good stuff. But yeah, we'll be back same time, same place, PGA Thursday with 3 trade ideas for you. We'll see you then.
Peace.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.